Seekers, welcome to Friday edition of the Molloy program. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be giving away three free one-year podcast subscriptions. I'm sorry. Woo! Man, no, I haven't been into the holiday cheer at all. So stick around for podcast trivia at the bottom of each hour. And if you come up with the right answer, bingo, it's yours. Also, if you're still looking for a last-minute Christmas gift, I hate saying that. Go to MikeMolloy.com if you buy a podcast subscription for $59.40 during this BOGO, buy one, get one free sale that we're running. You get one for a friend also. So take advantage of that if you can afford to. If you can, I certainly understand. One of the things that is so awful about Christmas is this made-up Christmas war on Christmas stuff that comes from the right wing. When did that start popping up? Was it about 3, 4, 5 years ago? Who started that? Was it Limbaugh or Hannity or O'Reilly or this psychopathic Beck? I don't know when it started, but man, and I have to comment on it tonight. I just do. There is a Jewish festival of lights and a Christian festival of the birth of their Savior that kind of dovetail or intersect each year. And I don't know about Hindu festivals or Muslim festivals. Maybe those are in there too. It's the winter solstice for people who celebrate that. And everything that you see about Christmas, other than a manger scene, is Celtic, has to do with the winter solstice. But anyway, all these holidays, excuse me, kind of intersect. And so the standard way to wish people a good time is say happy holidays. I guess that's where it started. And the psychopaths in right-wing media picked up on that just because people were saying happy holidays, you know, which is really, it's like saying blessed be. Oh my God, what would happen if people greeted themselves around the winter solstice and said blessed be? but that's when these crazy people, started making a big deal about this. Now, according to thesphere.com, I'm hesitant because I'm not sure who wrote this, but the writer says that Fox News' Bill O'Reilly and these other thugs have been cranking out war on Christmas reports this year. A few dispatches from the battlefront. Here's one. Why do they loathe the baby Jesus? Where did that come from? Another one, the Christmas atheists are back. What in the world are Christmas atheists? And I like this one. Why the left hates Christmas? What? Oh my gosh. Well, picking up on what the crazy people in media are doing, the crazy people inside Christianity pick it up. Focus on the Family has a website where they let customers rank retailers. If you go shopping during the Christmas season, you're supposed to log on to Focus on the Family's website and tattle on report on how you were treated by the clerks or how you were treated in the store. They want to know, did the clerks say Merry Christmas? Did they say Happy Holidays? did they? It's insane. Now, the Gap and Best Buy are listed at Focus on the Family's website as the most offensive. What? Now, the irony here is so thick you could cut it with your foot. It's supposed to be a holiday, a celebration of the Christian's Savior, who was born in poverty, who, according to the Christian legends, owned nothing his entire life, who never gave gifts that were not of the Spirit. And yet the O'Reillys and these other right-wing thugs are demanding, see, this isn't about religion, it's about commerce. It's not about peace and love. It's about, does the Gap have pictures of the baby Jesus alongside its discounts on blue jeans? Does Best Buy have a Jesus and Mary scene when you first walk in, right next to the stack of flat screen televisions that are on sale? This is the insane part of it. The American Family Association has a website. And they have a section called Naughty or Nice. And you're supposed to designate stores. The green stores are the ones that are for Christmas. The yellow stores are those marginalizing Christmas. And the red stores are those against Christmas. Where did this come from? Well, it came from O'Reilly and Hannity and Limbaugh and Beck and Crazy Eyes Malkin. All these people who get a kick out of making things miserable for everybody else. They're all millionaires. They're all very wealthy. They can spit down here onto the heads of the rank and file and tell us that somebody is misusing Christmas. Christmas is supposed to be about buying things, and it's supposed to be about going to your mall or your store and seeing Jesus and Mary and Joseph and the three wise men as you push your cart around to glom up stuff that is insane and ridiculous to begin with. You know, even the stuff that you buy for a kid. Most of it is junk, but what, you know, I'm trying to understand what their point is. I guess their point is Christmas is not commercial enough. And then you see these guys, and they're mostly men, these right-wing blabbermouths on radio and television professing, oh, well, they're Christians. It's just, I don't know. I can't find the words to discuss it. I just can't find the words to discuss it. Tina Depew, who's a contributor at True Slant website, Good Guys, said, quote, "The war on Christmas is a weird hybrid of requesting only the proper kind of exploitation of the sacred holy day." Did you get that? Only the proper kind of exploitation of a sacred holy day. The sacred holy day to the Christians that Christmas is has been so chopped up into garbage. Think about it. You know, we watched Molly and her little Christmas play this morning in the basement of her church school. And, you know, all these little kids, the oldest one's 5, doing their lines and doing their little play and of Mary and Joseph and three wise men and the three the shepherds and the angel who brings the news and you of the birth of the Savior. And you look at this, and if you understand Luke and you understand the legend, I know it's not true. You don't have to get all weird about it. All these legends are not true. They're just stories. But they're stories. The sale from Saturn is here. The best deals ever on a Saturn with $4,000 total cash back on every new vehicle. Or qualified buyers can choose 0% financing on all models. Length of contract is limited. Take delivery by January 4th. Hurry to your Saturn retailer tomorrow. All right, you got to hear this if you haven't already. We're going to play a little piece of sound for you. Lieberman was in the Senate today, jabbering on about his insanity, and Al Franken was presiding as the senators. You know, they take turns. The president, the senator, whatever. Al Franken was presiding, and Lieberman asked for unanimous consent to extend his remarks a little bit. Usually, in the 30 years I've been listening to C-SPAN, or however long it's been, I've never heard that denied anybody. And I always wondered, why? Why not? Why don't you deny it? Well, Franken denies this little rat bastard extra time. I want you to hear this. It starts with Lieberman, and then you'll hear Franken, and then McCain. McCain has to get his 2 cents worth in. And then Carl Levin, senator from Michigan, has to get his 2 cents worth in. And it was all in all, it's an interesting little piece of sound. Starts with Joe Lieberman.
Finally, our amendment clarifies that the purpose of the board is not just to contain costs within Medicare, but to look more broadly at health care spending outside of these publicly supported programs. That's very significant. Will provide an opportunity for broad savings in health care and health insurance for pretty much everybody in our country.
The senator has spoken for 10 minutes.
I wonder if I could ask unanimous consent for just an additional moment.
In my capacity as senator from Minnesota, I object.
Really? Oh, okay. Don't take it personally. I will ask unanimous consent that the remainder of my remarks be included in the records if read.
Without objection.
I thank the chair.
The senator from Arizona.
I've been around here 20-some years. First time I've ever seen a member denied an extra minute or two to finish his remarks. And I must say that... I don't know what's happening here in this body, but I think it's wrong.
Aww.
And it's fine with me that it be 10 minutes, but I'll tell you, I've never seen a member denied an extra minute or so, as the chair just did.
If the senator would yield for that, and I don't object to the unanimous consent request on that condition, I think that the same thing did occur earlier this afternoon. For reasons which have to do with trying to get this bill going, but anyway,
I just haven't seen it before myself, and I don't like it, and I think it's it harms the comity of the Senate not to allow one of our members at least a minute. I'm sure that time is urgent here, but I doubt if it would be that urgent. So I renew my unanimous consent request. The senator from Rhode Island be recognized for 10 minutes. The senator from Michigan be recognized 10 minutes, and then I be recognized for 10 minutes.
Without objection.
And a partridge in a pear tree. Oh, my God. Poor John McCain. You never heard that, huh? How about, as Levin pointed out, how about earlier today, you death freak? And when McCain talks about he's never heard the comity of the Senate challenge like that, he's obviously saying comity, you know, the brotherhood or the fraternal attitude. But when you hear it, it comes out as comedy, right? It's incredible. If you've seen the piece of videotape, and I think it's at Crooks and Liars, it's all over the place, but if you see this little piece of video, and look at the dumbass look on Lieberman's face when Al Franken just says, no, I object. You know, without objection, I'd like to extend my... No, I object. Now, I may not like Al Franken on a personal level, but I thought that was just really funny stuff. You know, just keep it going, Mr. Franken. What else we got here? Anthony Everett Washington sent me this. He said today on Hardball with Chris Matthews, Matthews called the liberal wing of the Democratic Party, quote, kids in the back of the classroom bitching, end quote, regarding their attack on the health care bill in the Senate. He then invited former conservative Democratic Congressman Harold Ford Jr. for his comments. Harold Ford Jr. continued Chris Matthews' anti-liberal attacks by saying, quote, the left wing of the Democratic Party is out of step with the rest of America, end quote. Well, no kidding, dumbass. And, quote, job security and the economy are higher on the list of priorities than health care, end quote. This is the part that drives me crazy, you see? Job security and the economy, higher on the list of priorities than health care. But healthcare is bankrupting everything. It's causing jobs to leave. It's ending whatever illusion of security, not having healthcare, that American middle class once thought they had. And as far as the economy, it's ripping it to pieces. But here sits another one of these dumb bastards, Harold Ford, sitting with a Tweety Bird, busting people like me. Well, wait a second. No, he wasn't. I'm not in the Democratic Party anymore. That's right. Never mind.
With millions in profits, it's just another lie. Hey, don't it make you red state? Hey, don't it make you red state? Hey, don't it make...
If you drive a car, car...
Doing talk radio right from the left. It's More Mike Malloy.
Ribbon on your mailbox with the stars of ours. Do you support the president and the war for oil? Do you think your sons belong there on someone else's soil? How far is it from here to Nuremberg?
25 before the hour. And regarding McCain's statement about the comity of the Senate, as Kathy in Green Bay points out, is that how you would that McCain would describe the comity between Senator Leahy and former Vice President Cheney? Remember what Cheney told him? To go F himself on the floor of the Senate? These Republicans, man. Never in 26 years in my time in the Senate have I ever seen anything like this. Oh, Joe, or John, why don't you go out to Hawaii and find your former running mate and make her paint your name back on her little beanie? All right, where are we? Oh, yeah, we haven't been talking about global warming. Global climate change and the Copenhagen event. Frankly, you want to know the truth because it just scares the hell out of me. The whole topic. I hope other progressive talk show hosts are talking about it. I know Amy Goodman is doing her program from Copenhagen. I think all this week, bless her heart. Somebody's got to do it. But frankly, it just scares me to death. I can't get my mind around this whole idea of the seriousness of the problem. I mean, this is like living inside a disaster film. We saw 2012 a few days ago, and you know, it's just nonstop disaster stuff. But the ending of the human race is what we're talking about with global climate change. I mean, we are. I don't really care what anybody believes. I'll stick with the science, and if the science is correct, and that's the beauty of science, it is willing to correct itself as it goes along, whereas religion and denial, it's impossible to correct itself, because otherwise you're blaspheming, you know, the cosmic muffin. But for me, it's just too scary, literally. To think about the extinction of the human race and to understand that we have the power to stop it, if we could just get a grip, which we're not going to get. You understand this. And this is a part that scares the bejesus out of me. 50 years from now, I'll still have kids and grandkids alive. And 50 years from now, there's no telling. If these projections are correct, and an increasing in global temperature of around 3 degrees Celsius is in the offing a lot quicker than 50 years, then the science that's out there that the right-wing crazy people, the deniers, label as hysterics or bat crap or don't believe it, it's just a liberal plot to destroy jobs. Oh! It's just unbelievable. But if it is all true, and so far I've seen, read, or heard nothing that would deny the science that's at work here. I put a lot of faith in those deep ice core samples they get out of the polar regions, the ones where they can go back 100,000, 150,000 years and take a look at what the climate on this planet was like back then. And there's still even, there's gases and even particles within those deep ice cores that are, it's just like reaching back through time and space and grabbing a handful of environment and pulling it into now and examining it. That's exactly what they're doing. one of the things that is scary, according to this report from AFP, the French news agency, sea levels were likely 8 meters higher around 125,000 years ago, when polar temperatures were 3 to 5 degrees Celsius warmer. Says a new study published Wednesday to show the effects of global warming. The research by the U.S. universities Harvard and Princeton. Harvard and Princeton. was released in the journal Nature as the world's nations met in Denmark to come up with a strategy. And to understand the potential effects of a rise in temperature like this, the researchers re-examined data about the last interglacial stage, a warmer period within an ice age. So that, you know, these dumb bastards like Rush Limbaugh say, snowing up there in Copenhagen with the global warming talk. A warmer period within an ice age, which climaxed about 125,000 years ago. At the time, polar temperatures were 3 to 5 degrees higher than today, providing a comparison for current scenarios of future rises of 1 to 2 degrees Celsius. The study, put together by Harvard and Princeton, you know, Princeton, let's see, Einstein. The study put together said, quote, we find a 95% probability that global sea levels peaked at least 6.6 meters, that's 22 feet, higher than today during the last interglacial. It is likely, a 67% probability, to have exceeded 8 meters, but is unlikely to have exceeded 9.4 meters. End quote. Previous estimates of sea level rises for the same period had been at a lower 4 to 6 meters. So what the researchers from Princeton and Harvard have come to the conclusion, we find a 95% probability that sea level peaked 22 feet higher than they are today during the last time there was this global climate change, global warming. Now, at this point, all the deniers rise up as a group and say, see, there weren't any people. There was no industrial age. There were no there were no man-made pollutants going into the atmosphere. That's beside the point, you dumbasses. That is so beside the point. The natural cycles of the planet are A. Our interference in those natural cycles is B. A plus B equals C. What is C? Disaster. That's what C is. Where were you dumbasses when you had simple algebra? Oh, well. The scientists from Harvard and Princeton, oh, those darned old scientists, said, quote, the results highlight the long-term vulnerability of ice sheets to even relatively low levels of sustained global warming. Scientist Peter Clark and Peter Hybers said, quote, the disconcerting message is that the equilibrium response of sea level to 1.5 to 2 centigrades of global warming could result in an increase of 7 to 9 meters in sea level. They continued, quote, if the results are correct, the sea level rise over the coming century will be followed by many more meters of rise over the ensuing centuries. Now, it's impossible for me to contemplate a century after I'm dead, and it is impossible for you to do the same. You can get a some sort of a intellectual grasp on that, but you can't really get a grasp of it. That's why The Fate of the Earth by Jonathan Schell was so difficult to read, because he was talking about the extinction of the human race as a result of a thermonuclear war and the resulting nuclear winter, where the sun would be totally blocked because of all the debris thrown into the atmosphere. And as Schell said in his book, if you remember when you read it, because I know you read it, that the extinction of the human race meant the extinction of everything. In other words, with no human life left to record everything that we had done here, then it would cease to exist. It's an existential question that had me falling into that abyss that, who was it? Kierkegaard, who talked about the abyss? The abyss looks into you. Huh? Nietzsche. That's right. I just can't keep the Germans straight. But when I read Fate of the Earth, it was that I started to get that feeling of vertigo, of falling, like, oh my God. Well, here it is again. And after I read Fate of the Earth, remember the futurists back in the 70s? Who's the guy that wrote The Population Bomb? Who were some of those people back in the 70s? I read all this stuff, but I also was smoking weed at the time, and everything's gone, huh? No. It was contemporary writers. I don't know. It's just hard to retain all this stuff. Trust me. But reading about the end of human life as we know it because of population increases is one thing. Thermonuclear winter was something else again, but this...
My sweetest friend, everyone I know goes away.
You're listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
If I had some more time to spend,
10 before the hour. Yeah, it was Paul Ehrlich. Thanks, everybody. Just couldn't remember the name. Wasn't his wife's name Susan? They wrote a couple of things together, didn't they? I think they did. But I remember reading that stuff back in the late 60s, early 60s, early 70s. And really kind of getting the cold willies from that. And then, of course, his predictions didn't come true. They will eventually. I mean, look at the population. I was talking to somebody the other day. When I was a kid growing up, the population of the world was 2 billion, just under 2 billion. I remember I was doing a rock concert in Atlanta back in 75, and somebody said there was a news report that the population of the Earth was now at 4 billion. I think it was either 4 billion. And I remember thinking, oh, my God, it doubled since I was a kid. And that was in the space of about 26 years. It had doubled. So, you know, Ehrlich's predictions, I guess, will eventually come true, because there's no way in hell that people are going to stop reproducing. A lot of European societies are at that level where they're not even producing, reproducing enough to, what do they call it, for replacement on two people, a husband and wife, a man and woman, or two women or two men. However it is, you know, because let's face it, anybody can reproduce if you're a human being. It doesn't make any difference what your sexual orientation is. You know? So in so many northern hemisphere societies, the replacement rate is not being met. In so-called southern hemisphere societies, the mere fact that people have to have a large number of children in order to guarantee that at least a couple of them will survive, although more than a couple survive now, so that the parents, when they are old, will have some kind of sustenance, somebody to take care of them. Yada, yada, yada. China's trying to get a grip on their population. They've been trying for, what, 30 years, 40 years. Wasn't it Mao that came up with the one-child China policy and so on and so forth, the forced abortions, killing children? How many families, if they gave birth to a girl, would immediately go drown it because the girls were useless? Give me a boy, right? All that. I mean, just insane stuff. But anyway, I feel like somebody with attention deficit disorder sometimes. What is it? What is it, Kathy? ADHD. Attention deficit hyperactive disorder. Yeah, because I can't stay on this topic. Getting back to what I started to say, that this whole conference in Copenhagen that should be the focal point of every rational person on earth. This is not, as far as I'm concerned, and apparently an awful lot of scientists, and you know the deniers, they always trot out the renegade scientists who say, no, none of this is true. It reminds me of the Catholic Church when Galileo tried to explain to them, we live in a heliocentric solar system, you know. And what happened to him? He was threatened with death if he didn't recant. Well, that's what the deniers are like now. They're like the Catholic Church 500 years ago. That you know, none of this stuff is true, or 700 years ago. None of this stuff is true. And you will always find the deniers. And they are always credentialed. Well, not all of them, but you know, they have their master's degrees. Some of them have their PhDs and so on and so forth. But the overwhelming evidence, every time I see more glaciers melting and I hear more reports from the high Andes or Greenland or Iceland or the North Pole, South Pole, you know, it's happening. It's happening. And I stop and think about that. I can't. I don't know. I don't even know how to broach the subject. There's nothing I can say on this program. I could have experts and, you know, so what? I figure you do what I do. You read and expose yourself to as much of that stuff as you can handle. It's just like Fate of the Earth. When that book was out in the 80s, I didn't talk about it on talk radio because it was too scary. I mean, I might have mentioned it, but there are certain topics that I think conversation is not needed. Action is needed. But here's this conference. I understand that, you know, Hillary was there today. Hillary Clinton was there today and pledged, or the other day or today or whatever. Oh, we're going to give $100 billion for what? You know, this is insane. And then you have that, north-south divide again. The northern hemisphere, which historically is responsible for what? Pick a number, 80%, 90%, 100% of the crap that's causing the CO2 that's causing this, and the sulfur dioxide, all of the acid rain, all this stuff. The industrialized northern half of the planet. The southern half of the planet now, that is, in a manner of speaking, is now trying to, you know, have McDonald's and television sets and obesity and cancer and cigarettes and so on and so forth. They're saying, wait, foul, foul, foul. You know, you guys did it. So you pay for the cleanup. And we're cutting deals with people to not cut down the rainforests and yada, yada, yada. And I pay attention to this probably as much as you do, but I can't handle it. So I just do, I use that one, psychological suit of armor that evolution gave me, and that's denial. I just denial in the sense of I deny myself to think about it. The hour. This is the Malloy Show. Email here from Allison, who says she's a longtime fan. Hi, Mike. I'm a longtime fan. Been listening since you started on Air America because my dad listened to you. Just wanted to let you know this. I'm 25 years old. On December 31st, I will be 26. It's amazing that I can't, quote, play nice, end quote, anymore either. I'm too young to be this jaded about government and the party I suppose I've aligned myself with, the Democrats. Do you know what the saddest part of all this stuff, the health insurance reform farce, Afghanistan ramping up, etc., what the saddest part of all this is? I don't remember a time when either major party has acted in the best interests of the people. Sure, I can read about those points in history. And those have their downsides, too, but my lifetime has been nearly devoid of those moments. Clinton came pretty close. Obama may come close. My friend Tom is a Democratic Socialist. He's 27, and he has been a Democratic Socialist for a while now. Before he mentioned it to me a few years ago, I had no idea what that was. Now I'm pretty much going to align with them, since that is where my heart, my head, my gut are now anyway. Those things haven't failed me yet, and I don't think they will. Also, I think it's a good idea for people, disaffected or not, to get involved with movements as opposed to getting involved with politicians or parties. I've known this for a while, but recent events have woken me up. It's kind of grave to know that it's up to folks of my generation to move us away from the sheer crap we call a political system. You said as much on an earlier show this week. I hope we're up to it physically, emotionally, intellectually, and economically. Allison. Longtime fan. Thanks, Allison. It would be pretty scary to be 26 or 27 right now. You Did you hear this story today? Insurgents in Iraq hacked into the live video feeds from these predators we're sending out to kill people and blow up villagers and murder children. Oh, I know. That's not why they're sent out. They're sent out to get Al-Qaeda, the number 3 man, the number 2 man, the number 17 man. Yay! That's what they're sent out to do, right? But what they wind up doing is killing an awful lot of people who are just trying to not be killed. Well, insurgents in Iraq hacked into the live video feeds from the Predator drones. And according to the AP, even though these militants could see the video, there's no evidence they were able to jam the signals from the unmanned aerial craft or take control of the vehicles.
That's according to a senior defense official today. Well, they couldn't really stop us. They might have been able to hack into the video feed and watch, but they couldn't do anything.
Well, if that's true, there should be a caveat added to that.
They weren't able to do anything yet.
The senior defense official who spoke today spoke on condition of anonymity because he's discussing sensitive intelligence. Now, wait a second. If the militants in Iraq hacked in and they know how to do it, who is his sensitive to intelligence non-comments directed? Oh, that's right. Us. We the people. I'm sorry. Associated Press says obtaining the video feeds can provide insurgents with critical information about what the military may be targeting, including buildings, roads, and other facilities. Now, here's the part that is kind of, I don't want to say, I guess the word is intriguing. Intriguing to me. Shiite fighters in Iraq used off-the-shelf software programs such as Skygrabber, available for as little as $26 on the internet, to capture drone video feeds regularly. Now, this is according to the Wall Street Journal today. The hacking was possible because these drone planes have unprotected communications links. Now, think about this for a second, okay? Here's a weapon of absolute death. It fires these so-called Hellfire missiles. This is what nobody wants to talk about. Super secret. The Predators. Oh my God. Look what we're doing. Hey. If we can really perfect this, by God, we won't have to send more soldiers. We could just fly around and kill people. Whether it's in Afghanistan or Pakistan or Iraq or Iran or San Diego or Detroit or San Francisco or Seattle or that bastard in the foothills of North Georgia Mountains. Boy, let me put a couple of Hellfire missiles down his chimney. You know what I'm saying. And it's unprotected communications links? The Pentagon that just got another $700 billion last night, and these son of a bitches, if they're going to develop these programs, they can't also develop protected video or communications links. I have a couple of programs on my little laptop here that keeps all the spam and the filth and the garbage and the junk and the that kind of stuff off my computer. Can't get in. I'm firewalled. And the Pentagon with their $700 billion can't. Oh, my God.
The Defense Department has dealt with the problem, first discovered a year ago, and is working to encrypt all its drone video feeds from Iraq, Afghanistan, and Pakistan, according to defense officials. One defense official noted that upgrading the encryption in the drones is a lengthy process because at least 600 unmanned vehicles are in use, along with thousands of ground stations.
Well, that sounds like classified information to me right there. How many?
600.
How many ground stations?
Thousands.
How many unmanned vehicles again? 600. Hold on. 600 unmanned vehicles.
My God. Air Force Lieutenant General David Deptula. Now, if he comes from the Air Force, he's probably a Christian Armageddonist, Dominionist, who is waiting and licking his lips for the corpses to be piled high enough that Jesus will come slaloming down the pile of bloody corpses, because according to the Christian Dominionists, that's all he's waiting for. Huge piles of dead, mostly Jews, but Muslims too. And then our Lord and Savior, or his Lord and Savior, will return. Anyway, Air Force Lieutenant General David Deptula, Deputy Chief of Staff for Intelligence, Surveillance, and Reconnaissance, said that hacking is always a worry. He said, quote, anytime you have a system that is operated through command links and that broadcasts information using omnidirectional signals, those are subject to listening and exploitation. One of the ways we deal with that is encrypting signals. Okay, well, you do it after the fact, Lieutenant General, Sir Armageddonist? Is that you wait until it's been hacked and the videos are being played in, oh, I don't know, let me think, caves in Berserkistan? And then you say, oh, well, you know, yes, here's what you do. Why didn't you do that to begin with? A former chief information officer for the U.S. intelligence community compared the problem to street criminals listening to police scanners.
Get him up against the wall.
Primal scream you suppress. Embrace your inner liberal warrior with Mike Malloy.
Past the hour.
Fat Charlie the Archangel sloped in
the article about the drones. Concludes by pointing out the obvious. The hacking is just another example of how formidable and inventive their word, extremists can be. Yeah, extremists. I would be an extremist if somebody were sending these things over my country. If Timothy McVeigh had gone to Pakistan and murdered a few thousand people, and then went and hid in the caves of Colorado, and the people in that country decided to send drones over here to, you know, kill Timothy McVeigh, and they kept missing, damn it. They got reports that he was in this cave, or he was in that city or that village in Colorado, and damn, there goes, you know, I would probably try to be inventive and formidable and be an extremist too. Even though I would know that Timothy McVeigh was my countryman and a former soldier, and that he had organized a few people to go over to Afghanistan or Pakistan or Berserkistan or wherever, because he just didn't like the fact that these people were doing whatever they were doing, and the result of his actions were several thousand Berserkistanians dead. And even though I knew that, I would still be pissed off when the Berserkistanians started sending drone aircraft over my country and blowing up people who were having weddings, or kids around a campfire at summer camp, or, you know, whatever. Sure, I would become formidable and inventive and extreme real goddamn quick. And if you're
If you have respect for your tribe, you would do the same. Right? But regarding that inventiveness, the United States has spent billions of dollars fighting homemade bombs in Iraq and Afghanistan, the number one killer of troops and the weapon of choice by militants who have easy access to the materials needed to make them and use modern telecommunications networks to exchange information about how to improve them. Yeah, we've got the drone aircraft, we've got the fighters, we have the bombers, we have the bunker busters, we have the troops that when they are suited up and ready to go out on patrol, they do look like people who have invaded the Earth from some other star system. But you know what they have? They have inventiveness, and they are formidable, and they are extremists because we are in their country. And we are killing their children and their men and their women. And they don't like that. And they will defeat us. They will defeat us. Pentagon spokesman Brian Whitman said the military continually evaluates the technologies it uses and quickly corrects any vulnerabilities found. Whitman said there were no plans to pull back on the military's use of technologies like drones because they provide invaluable benefits to commanders. Okay. Alrighty. That's cool. Hacked into the video streams. Why, those little Muslim creatures, how dare they? From The Guardian, the UK, this, the sexual harassment of women in the streets, schools, and workplaces in the Arab world is driving them to cover up and confine themselves to their homes, said activists at the first ever regional conference addressing the once taboo topic. Activists from 17 countries across the region met in Cairo for a two-day conference, ended a couple of days ago, and concluded that harassment was unchecked across the region because laws don't punish the harassment. Women don't repeat it, and the authorities ignore it. The harassment appears to be designed to drive women out of public spaces and seems to happen regardless of what they're wearing. Amal Madbouly, who wears the conservative face veil, or niqab, told the Associated Press that despite her dress, she is harassed and described how a man came after her in the streets of her neighborhood. Quote, he hissed at me, and he kept asking if I wanted to go with him to a quieter area and to give him my phone number. The woman said, she's a mother too, quote, this is a national security issue. I'm a mother, and I want to be reassured when my daughters go out on the streets. Well, the men in these backward-ass countries, these Muslim countries, these fundamentalist countries, of course, they blame the women. They say, well, it's because of the way you dress. You women who won't put on the burqa, you know, we see your ankles or your wrist, and we have uncontrollable urges to batter and rape you. Harassment across the Arab world drives women inside.
Thank you.
The sale from Saturn is here. The best deals ever on a Saturn with $4,000 total cash back on every new vehicle. Or qualified buyers can choose 0% financing on all models. Length of contract is limited. Take delivery by January 4th. Hurry to your Saturn retailer tomorrow. Twenty-five before the hour. So this report was in the Guardian of the UK about this horrific harassment across the Arab world against women. I'm not attacking Islam per se. I'm attacking, as I always do, all monotheistic religions that always, every single one of them, reduce women as far down the social scale as possible, and then they take it another, even go further. Every time I see one of these videos of a woman being executed, even as she's getting a bullet in the back of the head from some religious Muslim leader, she has to wear her burqa. Even in her moment of death, as she's being shot. Why is she being shot? Maybe she got caught winking at a man or something? When you see the women being lashed, then, of course, their burqas are removed. But, of course, they keep the face covered. Just give me some bare skin so I can beat the devil out of you. 40, 50, 60, 100, 200, 300 lashes. What was the latest I read? A woman in her, was it in her late 70s, early 80s, who was caught. Out with two males who were not her family members, a woman in her 80s, and the religious court, I believe this is in Saudi Arabia, religious court there has sentenced her to be lashed scores of times as her punishment. This is the stuff. And don't kid yourself for a moment. The religious, the Christian fundamentalists in this country drool when they hear about this stuff. They drool. They love this. They would like to institute this. This is the attack on Roe v. Wade. It's part of it. It has nothing to do with abortion. It has everything to do with a woman's privacy. As the Guardian of the UK reported, open discussion of this harassment against Arab women or Muslim women. The issue first emerged in Egypt 3 years ago after blogs gave broad publicity to amateur videos showing men assaulting women in downtown Cairo during a major Muslim holiday. And, you know, the as a result of these videos, the Egyptian government decided to consider drafting two bills addressing sexual harassment. So they had this conference, and at the participants at the conference said men are threatened by an increasingly active female labor force, with conservatives laying the blame for harassment on women's dress and behavior. It's the way they dress. You've heard that before in this country. Well, I wouldn't have raped her, Your Honor, but goddamn, she had on those short shorts. I'm sorry, Your Honor. Did I say goddamn? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say it. But the bitch brought it on herself. Right? Right? Abul Kamsan, female writer, described how one of the victims of harassment she interviewed told her she had taken on the full face veil to stave off the hassle. Ms. Kamsan said, quote, she told me, I have put on the niqab. By God, what more can I do? So they leave me alone, she said, quoting the woman. Some even said they were reconsidering going to work or school because of the constant harassment in the streets and on public transportation. But even in Yemen, where nearly all women are covered from head to toe, activist Amal Basha said 90% of women in a published study she conducted reported harassment, specifically pinching. She said, quote, the religious leaders are always blaming the women, making them live in a constant state of fear because out there someone is following them. In Saudi Arabia, end quote. In Saudi Arabia, another country where women cover themselves completely and are nearly totally segregated from men in public life, women report harassment as well, according to a Saudi activist, blah, blah, blah. And of course, the men who do this, why do they do it? Because, of course, they are taught that their little penises are instruments of dirt and death and destruction, and it's nasty, And every time they masturbate, Allah is watching or something. The same thing that these Christian freaks teach over here. So, you know, as long as you have that monster hanging between your legs, you know, what are you going to do with it, Abdul? You know, don't you feel dirty and filthy? So, you know, the whole sexual thing, isn't this one of the major issues in the Muslim world? The whole sexual thing is just insane. It's like Christian fundamentalists in this country. Of course, the way the Arab men compensate from that, I shouldn't keep saying Arab because it's Muslim, is to allow themselves five or seven. What does the Quran allow? Four wives and as many as you can keep on the side without. Of course, if one of your girlfriends gets caught, she's the one that's executed for adultery. Huh? The reason this particular story, reportage, is important is because Christian fundamentalists in this country would like to do this to American women. Oh, God, in a heartbeat. In a heartbeat. The Christian Reconstruction Movement, the Dominionist Movement, the Armageddonists, all the, you know, it's just crazy. When I see freaks like this pop-eyed Michelle Malkin and this crazy woman from Minnesota, Michelle Bachmann, and these women talking this fundamentalist religious garbage, and I think to myself, are you so insane that you don't realize that if you could get what you want here, your ass would be walking around in a barbecue grill cover for the rest of your life? Every time you went to Walmart, every time you step foot out of the house, you psychopath, is this what you want? I don't know. Do you think they do? Do you think this is what Dr. Schlesinger, Dr. Laura, and the rest of these freaks, is this what they want? They're always throwing it in people's face, right? Their fundamentalist Christian beliefs. No, Dr. Laura gave up Judaism, went back to being a Christian evangelical, whatever the hell it is. I just had to bring it up because it's out there, you know, the story. It's in The Guardian of the UK. I don't know if any American newspapers picked up on it. Why should they bother? You know, what do they care, right? Never happened here, right? Huh? If the Christian fundamentalists took over this country tomorrow, women would be in burqas before sundown the same day. You know it as well as I do. All right, I'll tell you what. Hillary in Copenhagen. That was a big story. David Korn, writing at Mother Jones Online, brought all this up. You know, he's there, I believe. David Korn is there, yeah. As Bolivian President Evo Morales was thundering in the press briefing room of the Copenhagen Climate Summit on Wednesday, railing about the guilt of the countries of the North and denouncing President Obama for spending more on the war in Afghanistan than on climate change programs for the developing world, Senator John Kerry was 100 yards away in a crowded room delivering a somewhat similar message. Industrialized nations began global warming pollution, Kerry said, so they now have responsibility to, his words, ramp up significantly climate financing for poorer nations as part of a final deal. This is what it's getting down to, you see. It's getting down to, follow the money, right? It's getting down to a money thing. The crazy people in our society, it's just like people of African descent in this country expecting or thinking about or wondering why they're not entitled to reparations, right? All this white wealth that was built in this country, built on the backs of slaves. And every time this issue comes up about reparations, what's the first thing you hear from white people? I didn't own no slaves. That's not the point. So here, basically the same issue, the people who are responsible, who have the primary responsibility for industrialization. You know, industrialization did not start in Vietnam. It didn't start in Ecuador. It didn't start in Bolivia. Where did industrialization start, right? But what an out-of-date, archaic idea that the countries, the societies, the global economic systems, now global, the economic systems that are responsible for this, and really responsible in that, you know, word got out 40 years ago. Yo, look, hey, wait, stop. This is not good what we're doing.
Sit down and shut up. What are you, a liberal?
And then came Hillary. Hillary Clinton, Secretary of State. You want to know what she said? Well, hold on. I'll tell you when we come back. I'm Mike Malloy.
In California, the body counts keep getting higher. It's evil out there, man. That state is always on fire. Everyone has a system, but they can't seem to win. Even Bob Geldof looks alarmingly thin. I got to get on that shuttle, get me out of this place. But there's gonna be warfare up there in outer space. It's been a hard day on the planet. How much is it all worth? It's getting harder.
The Mike Malloy Show. You are now entering a flying monkey-free zone.
10 before the hour. So, while all this discussion is going on in Copenhagen about how we're going to kill ourselves and end certainly overpopulation, right? And maybe worse. If we do see that 3 to 5 degrees Celsius rise in temperature, this is what the half-wits, the conservatives, the Republicans, the dumbasses in our society, they have no working knowledge of science whatsoever. They get their science reports from Glenn Beck and Rush Limbaugh and Crazy Eyes Michelle Malkin and people like that. A 3 to 5 degrees Celsius rise in global temperatures will guarantee coastal flooding that will probably be more than coastal. Look for the entire state of Florida to just be gone. But you can't tell that to the dumbasses in this country. The climate change deniers are a pathetic group, and they're best just, I guess, left alone. Anyway, after all this talk, Hillary Clinton showed up, Secretary of State, this morning. Moments after the African nations complained that the negotiations were going nowhere. So Secretary of State Clinton appeared in a crowded press briefing room, according to David Corn, at the summit and announced that the United States, ta-da, would contribute to a $100 billion international fund starting in, wait for it, 2020! All right, that's only a decade from now. Jeez, that's just right around the corner. Oh, there's a condition. We'll do this as long as all major nations, her words, all major nations, commit their emissions reductions to a binding agreement and submit those reductions to transparent verification. And, of course, by all major nations, she means China. Bum, 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 bum. Here we go! So with that dramatic, nearly last-minute declaration, David Corn writes, the United States changed the summit's dynamic for most of the two-week affair as the poorer nations and European nations talked about setting up a global fund that would help developing countries contend with climate change. American officials were mum. Instead, they tried to change the discussion, focusing on China's refusal to place its announced emissions limits within an international agreement. Yada, 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 yada. Well, What is actually going on here, I do believe, aside from the fact that the people attending this conference, some of them, I think, are acutely aware of what's at stake here, the future of the human race. Of course, don't tell that to the dumbasses in the United States, the right-wingers, the conservatives who get their science from Glenn Beck and the church. But what's at stake? What's going on here, I think, and I really believe this, these are the first shots being fired in the ultimate war between the United States and China, which is on the horizon. You know it. I know it. A lot of people say, well, don't worry about it. It'll be an economic war. Well, it starts that way. That's what this is about. This global climate change, stop your emissions, let's stop polluting thing. This is an economic war already. And it's going to get worse and worse. The rhetoric will be ramped up. And China and the United States eventually will confront each other on some level that will be more than just the price of this garbage they produce that goes to Walmart and Target and Best Buy and all these other places. It will be a different kind of battlefield. It's not going to be fought in the aisles of Best Buy. It'll be fought someplace else. And that's kind of a shame because surely the Chinese scientists who have a 6,000-year history of science and the American scientists who, if they drag European science into it, they have at least a 400-year history of science thanks to the Catholic Church for screwing that up, going all the way back to the Dark Ages, so-called Dark Ages, while the Arabs kept developing things like astronomy and math and the concept of zero and those sorts of things. The Europeans were sitting around inside abbeys talking about how the Black Plague and death and destruction was because God or Jesus was pissed off. Somebody was pissed off, hence the Black Death. Meanwhile, the Arabs are discovering all sorts of things and keeping the flame of civilization alive. Have we ever thanked them for that? I don't think so. So back in this country, with our 400-year history of science and China's 5,000-year history of science, you would think that the thinkers in these two societies would get together and say, you know what? There's not going to be anything to fight over. If we, you know, let's at least bring this to a stop now, so that 50 years from now, when we have our big battles, our soldiers can breathe and our armies can march, because otherwise everybody's going to have to learn how to swim, and you know, that's a bummer. Sick stuff, man. Really, really, really sick stuff. So while the topic is too scary for me to bring up, I guess I just brought it up, right? Coming back after this break, the lines will be open if you would like to call in. We'd love to hear from you. The phone number here is 877-996-2556. Stay with us. 7 past the hour, the Rachel Maddow program is being rebroadcast here in the East on MSNBC, and there's that video again of these psychopaths, these religious freaks, and a couple of three senators. They're praying to their creator of the universe to take time out from whatever he does for fun and come down and destroy the healthcare insurance reform. Every time I see this, I just crack up. I just can't believe these people. They're dressed in suits and dresses like people. They look like people. They have hair and ears, and some of them are rather funny looking, but you know, that's not a determinant really. They have various shades of skin color. They look kind of like you and me and everybody else, and yet they're doing that. Got an email here from Bob in Coos Bay. He writes, Mike, the one major connective link that I see between Christianity and conservatives is their dictatorial ideologies, both of which are erected on what I call the triune imperative to foster, one, ignorance, to totally obliterate any sense of intellectual curiosity and everything outside the box. Two, fear, keep them in a state of stark terror, especially with regard to the afterlife. And three, superstition through complete adherence to dogma created by the greed and power brokers. And with regard to the teabaggers, I see these freaks as the cave dwellers of the current epoch. The Cenozoic Quaternary period, I guess it's called. They appear as throwbacks to the most mindless, non-rational species of subhuman freaks that ever spawned on a planetary surface. It's hard to believe they ever slid through a birth canal. Amen and amen. Also, your opening rant was rather refreshing because it seemed to come straight out of my head. For years, I've been saying to my wife and a few others who would listen, quote, imagine the first cause of the universe, that would be God, that seemingly brought about trillions of galaxies, stars, and solar systems, that this concept would take time out to focus on this insignificant speck of dirt to help a morass of ignoramuses win a goddamn ball game. Bob and Coos Bay. Yeah, you know what really gets me? And I saw it again over the weekend. They interview football players, professional as well as college football players, after the game. Hey, that was a great run you had there, 72 yards back in the second period. What was your feeling when you crossed the goal line?
Well, first I want to thank my Lord and Master.
Really?
I want to thank Jesus Christ, because without Jesus Christ, I never could have run them 72 yards.
Really? No kidding. The boxers. Every once in a while, yeah, I do. I watch this blood sport every once in a while. When I can't go to sleep, I'll switch over to one of the ESPN channels and pick up some of these rerun fights. And, oh, my God, watch it for about 5 minutes. If I get towards the end of it where they have the winner, and, you know, he's still bouncing, his brain has been battered around inside his skull for the last 12 rounds or 8 rounds or 6 rounds, whatever. He's completely incoherent. Just like a raving, bloodlusted maniac. This is called sport. Put two people in a little space and have them beat each other up. Woo! Now that's fun.
Well, I want to thank the Lord for getting me through and helping me to win. Well, first, what? Oh, I don't know. I love God.
Where does this come from?
I'm thankful every time God helps me just crush some son of a bitch. I love God. God is good.
Then they make the sign of the cross? I know, I'm really pissing you off tonight. Well, I'm sorry. We still haven't decided what we're going to do on the Christmas program, which is next Wednesday, or the winter solstice program. It's a tradition here on the Malloy program. It goes back about 12 years. I think we started this in Chicago. Lester Holt. Remember Lester Holt was one of our guests when he was doing news on the CBS affiliate. And I was working for ABC, so they really got pissed off when I would have Lester Holt come up. And now he's big time, right? Big time, man. Big time. NBC. Is it NBC? Is he on NBC? But that's when we started. Lester used to come up. He did it 2 years with us. He thought it was a hoot. He'd sit up there for the whole 3 hours. And we had a lot of fun doing our Christmas shows. We used to have a cappella. It was a big studio. ABC in Chicago, the WLS studios, a big studio. We had like, I don't know, 10 mics in there. Huge studio. We used to bring up kids from the Chicago Youth Symphony. They used to play classical pieces. We had all kinds of people come in. That was a lot of fun. Of course, WLS thought I was too liberal, so they decided to make my life miserable, and I told them to go F themselves and took the money and came back to Atlanta. But Lester used to come up, and we'd have some interesting conversations about talk radio and what we were doing. What the hell are you doing, Malloy? What is this? It's called talk radio, Lester. So we haven't decided what we're going to do here on the Malloy program in its latest incarnation here in the foothills of the North Georgia Mountains, where we do not have 10 microphones in the studio. We have two. And I'm just not comfortable with this year doing what we've done in the past every single year. I don't know what to do about it because I like the mythology. I really do. Even though I know that the whole Christmas story, the birth of Jesus and everything, is a complete hoax, complete fraud, complete lie, made-up stuff, has absolutely not even 1 foot in reality. It doesn't have a fingernail in reality. But and neither did the stories of Zeus hurling thunderbolts from Mount Olympus either. You know, neither did the stories of Thor getting pissed off because the Norsemen weren't raping enough people in the British Isles. It's all nonsense. It's all hysterics, but it's all based in just animal-like fear. But that little birth story is kind of cool. If you've ever had a child, you can relate to first time you hold your kid and so on and so forth. So I'm not sure. The story in Luke is what I'm talking about. So I'm not sure what we're going to do yet. But we'll have something. I'd love the music, especially as it's done by Polar. No, what's the Express? The music that we play a lot. What is it? Trans-Siberian Orchestra. Yeah, I like that music. Have you got a piece of that? Play that. What we usually play as the opening music when we do. I'm going to tease a little bit. Oh, also we're going to have Nightmare Before Christmas, of course, which has become as much of a holiday tradition for us as reading the Telltale Heart at Halloween. I think when we come back, do you have that? Do you have that? Okay. All right, and your phone calls when we come back, as promised. So stick around for that. So just as a heads up, we're not sure what we're going to do. We're not going to be on the air Christmas Eve or Christmas Day night, and then all next week. We have Brad Friedman is going to be handling most of the substitutions. A couple of nights there will be rebroadcasts. But we'll let you know more about that. Also, when we do our Christmas Eve show this year, we're going to have the latest Mike Malloy radio gumshoe.
Given the choice between the two of you, I'd take the seasick crocodile. You're a foul one, Mr. Grinch. You're a nasty, wasty skunk. Your heart is full of unwashed socks. Your soul is full of gunk, Mr. Grinch. the three words that best describe you are as follows, and I quote, stink, stank, stunk. You're a rotter, Mr.
The sale from Saturn is here. The best deals ever on a Saturn with $4,000 total cash back on every new vehicle. Or qualified buyers can choose 0% financing on all models. Length of contract limited. Take delivery by January 4th. Hurry to your Saturn retailer tomorrow. I love that, especially the Trans-Siberian Express. I love their music. It is just pretty intense. All right, to your phone calls. Bob is in Mount Iron, Minnesota, listening to Sirius. Hey, Bob.
Hi, Mike. This is Rob. It's where I've listened to you for many years, and before I get into a rant, Christmas without Molly is not a Christmas. Christmas without Molly is not a Christmas.
Oh, she'll be here. Yeah, we'll do Night Before Christmas regardless. We're just kind of mulling around how to handle
it. Well, it's where, you know, I listened to her in the past, and the whole thing is where she grows up, it's where, you know, I mean, I appreciate it, you know?
Oh, thanks. That's real sweet. Thanks, Bob.
You know, the whole thing is where, if I say to you, J-Lo, you know who I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
How about naming somebody else J-Li?
Would that be Lieberman?
I don't know. It's where, you know, I mean, you could be able to figure it out for yourself, huh?
Yeah.
You know, the whole thing is where, as far as Al Franken shutting him up, it was one of the best things I've heard. I listened to Mark Levin a little bit before you, and it was where, you know, I mean, he's got a death wish on, you know, Al Franken right now, and I absolutely loved every second of it.
Well, you know, like I said, Franken and I did not get along very well when we were at all, when we were both at Air America, but that, you know, who cares? I liked, the fact that for the first time since, like I said, the first time since I've ever been listening, that I've ever listened to any of this interplay between senators where they asked for, unanimous consent to extend my remarks. It's the first time I've ever heard somebody say no.
Yeah, and the whole thing is, wasn't it really great? You know, I mean,
it was.
I thought about it. You know, I mean, for Mark Levin to be able to put a death wish on Mark, Al Franken. Okay, fine. You know, I mean, the whole thing is, as long as you hate somebody, make me happy.
That's right.
Hey, Mike. The whole thing is I wish you Merry Christmas and I, you know, many, many more.
Hey, back at you, Bob.
Have a good one.
All right, sir. Take care. James is calling from the San Francisco Bay Area, listening on Green 960. Hey, James.
Hey, I heard your previous call about a death wish. That's pretty sad on his part. But I just want to say I'm not a religious person. I'm a spiritual person.
Uh-huh.
Even evolution, science, and all that, especially the separation of church and state. But I want to say, Mike, if we don't, and this is why I called in, I'm going to be calling in too much more, but I want to say this, is that if we don't get this right by, you know, the next generation, I feel we're going to be irredeemable, okay? And it, whether it's global warming, civil war, or economic war, whatever the case may be, a divided house cannot stand, and you should know that yourself. That's all throughout history. So I'm hoping that we get it together. And another thing about the Islamic thing there you were talking about.
Yeah.
Those are fundamentalists, too. You know, the same thing. That's a dictatorship, you know, that was, you know, started in the 1950s by you-know-who, and it's just another form of oppression. So, you know, and I don't know, you know, your political deep inside viewpoint, you know, but I really don't care about that.
You don't know my political viewpoint?
Well, you know, I mean, your inner political viewpoint.
Oh, sure you do. You if you've listened to this program, of course you do.
Well, you know, there's a lot of false
No, 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 no. I don't do that. You get that from the right wingers. What you hear on this program is genuine. Hey, thanks, James. By the way, Islam started in the, I believe, the 8th century, but that's all right. This is from Bill in Paso Robles. Mike, here's a good one. I just watched a segment on British Al Jazeera TV regarding an investigation underway in the British Parliament, which seeks to determine whether Tony Blair will be formally accused of war crimes in conjunction with his cuddling up with George W. Bush in sending British forces into an illegitimate war in Iraq. The Al Jazeera report said proceedings pursuant to the possible war crimes indictment against Blair were expected to begin the first of next year. The report included familiar extended footage of the smiling Blair and Bush walking briskly arm in arm up to their dual podiums, announcing their proud togetherness on the Iraq war action. This ought to be a really good show, as the Brits would put it. Bill and Paso Robles, yeah. Yeah, Tony Blair is in trouble. I don't know how much of it is political by these right-wingers who are soon to take over the government in England, in the UK. But I read something the other day that the only reason Tony Blair did what he did was to suck up to George Bush, that he wanted to be like George, more or less, you know. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy.
Primal scream you suppress. Embrace your inner liberal warrior with Mike Malloy.
It's about 25 before the hour. Back to your phone calls here. Frank is in Chicago listening on XM. Hey, Frank.
Hey, Mike, how you doing today?
I'm all right. How are you?
Well, I was in one of my usual get ready to, you know, eat razor blades and drink bleach moods and was going to call in and rant, but I was, you know, going through the Internet this afternoon and, you know, ruminating over the fools in the Senate, and I read a little blurb about that drone, you know, hacking, too, and you went to it more in detail, and I was listening to you. All of a sudden, I had a picture pop up on my mind of that the lady and gentleman that were in the CIA headquarters there in Langley at the control center and their lifeless monotones discussing all of the coordinates and this and that and the other.
Uh-huh.
All of a sudden, I'd like to see, you know, just as they're getting ready to fire that missile, all of a sudden pop up on all their screens would be SpongeBob SquarePants. You know, I mean, $700 billion and these guys can't do as good as my local bank, you know, online. This is amazing.
It's just astonishing to me. How are we... Or the people that are the real we in this country, you and I are not the real we. How are we so just dirt stupid or technically incapable? We put these murderous systems up and they are easy enough to hack that people allegedly living someplace where they don't even have a drinkable water can steal the video stream. How does that happen?
Well, I mean, the other part of it is they don't know, like, where this came from. They can find a pimple-faced kid downloading AC/DC for free, but they don't know how that this happened.
Right, exactly, exactly.
All right, thanks for your time.
All right, appreciate it, Frank. Take care. That was, yeah, kind of the point, although Frank put it more succinctly than I did. It's just astonishing to me. Like you said, they can find somebody stealing music off the internet. Bing! Got him! Got the little bastard! But somebody who intercepts our big old Star Wars style murder machine and just gloms the video.
Oh, well, we're not sure how it happened.
$700 billion this year. And the hell of it is that this story, it's, you know, just came out today, but they've been aware that the video stream can be and probably has been hacked for the past year. Past year. I probably shouldn't say this, but sometimes, you know, I just yearn for the good old days back when our murder machine was pretty much focused in Vietnam. Not that I wanted death in Vietnam, but when I think back to, Apollo 13, Houston, we have a problem. You know, and how the problem was solved, how they whipped people around the moon and brought them back, even though they should have been dead, they should still be traveling outward, you know, 40-some years later, those astronauts. But using the power of a couple of slide rules, they were able to correct it. And here we are now with all this massive technology designed to just absolutely, in the most remote way possible. I mean, it's not like bombing. That's fairly remote way of creating death. But sitting at a video terminal 18,000 miles away, unless you go around the other way, then it's only 10,000 miles or whatever, and being able to unleash death on a family gathering in the mountainous regions of Pakistan. I mean, that's so in keeping with, who was it? Conrad Lorenz On Aggression. Remember those, you know, it goes back to African Genesis and On Aggression. The very real theory by some paleo anthropologists that we were not the tool maker. That wasn't what caused the human race to become, or the human species to become the human species. It was the weapons maker. Remember that famous scene in Arthur Clarke's 2001 as adapted to the screen when Kubrick did that scene with the ape-like creature who, having his brain activated by the obelisk, all of a sudden he picks up an antelope bone and he sees it as what God intended it to be, a weapon, so he could crush the skull and beat into a bloody pulp the tribe of proto-humans that would come up to the water hole, try to get a drink. Remember that scene? And his lip curls back, this creature, this primordial, primitive creature, his lip curls back, and he raises his hand in the air, and he is so overjoyed, he tosses this antelope bone into the air, and then at the scene, the antelope bone, of course, the spinning antelope bone changes into a spinning space station. What a brilliant movie that was. Oh, my God, what a brilliant book it was. But, you know, you have Arthur Clarke and Stanley Kubrick and, whew, Jesus. But, man, the weapons maker. There was a third book that was so impressive to me all those years ago. African Genesis, On Aggression. And I forget what the third one was, but if you get a chance, Conrad with a K, Lorenz, L-O-R-E-N-Z. I believe he was the author of On Aggression. And I think it was in that book that talked about, no, it wasn't man the tool maker that caused the evolution. It was man the weapon maker. Makes sense to me. Mike is in Salt Lake City listening on XM. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Hey, Mike, how you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. Well, Mike, I want to talk about that story you had last night about those Christian evangelical wackos praying that there be no health care reform. I've been an agnostic since 1971, been a happier man. Mm-hmm. And I look at, you know, these Christian Protestant evangelicals. Hey, if you're against health care reform, then you don't even know your own Bible and know Christ. And what you're doing is you're picking, cherry-picking parts of the Bible that suit your preconceived notion.
Mm-hmm.
For example, you know, Jesus was the greatest single payer there was. He healed people. He didn't call the...
Right.
Yeah, Jesus didn't call upon some, you know, the Florence Nightingales of the insurance industries for pre-authorization to heal. And then if you read that passage in any translation of the Bible, that's Matthew 25, verses 35 through 46, Jesus said, if you did unto the least of these,
right.
you've done it unto me.
Right.
You visited the poor, the fatherless,
yeah,
and all that. And what I don't follow, if these Christian evangelicals say we're a Christian nation, then why don't you, you know, believe in health care reform for all? After all, Jesus said to be good to your enemies.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't understand their logic, if there's any logic whatsoever.
Well, of course there isn't. The first casualty of religious faith is logic. The first casualty of any belief in a supernatural creature pulling levers and pushing buttons is your ability to engage in rational thought. That's the first thing that flees. So no, these people are not. And you know, you make wonderful points. There have been books written about the contradictions within the Jewish Christian holy book, the combination, the Bible, all these contradictions. But the Christians are the ones that are particularly galling because they, you know, they steal from the Jews, and then they come up with stuff written by really weird people 2,000 years ago, these new Christ followers, and they call that the inerrant word of God. If that were the case, then these Christian fundamentalists ought to be busy at home killing their children, because you know, it says so in Leviticus. You are supposed to execute your unruly child. I mean, you know, and it just gets worse from that. It's insanity. That's why, to me, spirituality is great. Religion is insanity. It is the kind of madness that has no boundaries. It's the kind of madness that infects, you know, entire populations. It causes nations to go to war. Religion does. You know, monotheism. It causes people to curse their own birth. It causes people to take other people and burn them at the rate of 6, 7, 10, 20 million. It causes people to drop nuclear bombs on unsuspecting civilian population. I mean, you know, why go on? You know what it does. Mike, I got to go. Thanks. Appreciate your call.
None of them can stop the time. How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? Some say it's just a part of it. We've got to fulfill the book. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever redemption song.
Before the hour, Doug is in Boston listening on XM. Hey, Doug.
Hey, what's going on, Mike?
The rent.
I am so speechless. I sent you an email earlier today. I'll be definitely buying your book. And
great, thanks.
One for my mother and one for the hoe from Wasilla.
yeah.
If that comes out. But I am so fed up, and I apologize for calling in and being speechless, but I'm really ready to do some stuff that maybe you shouldn't be putting out on the air.
Okay, well then don't tell me.
Oh, well, I'm not going to tell you.
Oh, okay. All right. Listen, I have a suggestion. Get back on your meds very quickly, all right? Call me sometime, Doug. Take care. Ah! No, thanks. Don't call up with stuff like that. Come on. Especially with the laugh. You know, that's the kind of laugh that is scary. Karen is in Huntsville, Alabama. Hey, Karen.
Hey.
Hey.
Well, that's kind of a scary thing to follow, but I just wanted to let you know that the religious right in America is actually rewriting the Bible. You do know about the Conservapedia rewrite, right?
Yeah, I've heard about that. They're going to take out any references to love, peace, brotherhood.
Right.
You got to get rid of it. Yeah.
Everyone needs to go on the Google machine or YouTube and look at the Colbert Report segment. He actually had the guy that's doing the project on the other night, and it was the most astonishing 7 minutes of television I've seen in a long time.
Oh, really?
But if you just look on, do Colbert Report, Conservapedia,
okay,
you should get the YouTube up, because it's, you know, I mean, you gotta give them, they got guts. We'll just rewrite the damn thing. So.
Mm-hmm.
Colbert asked him about Jesus, you know, the philosophy of Jesus. He said, well, you know, I can't think the guy's name, but he said, actually, when you look at the parables of Jesus, they're all about free market economy.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. So, really, please go and look at that. It's about 7-8 minutes, and it's just astonishing.
Well,
thank you for what you're doing, and, you know, happy holidays to you and your lovely family.
All right. Thanks, Karen. Take care. Feeding the multitudes with the loaves and fishes, that's about a free market economy? The admonition that it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than the rich man enter into the gates of heaven, that's free market. Oh, my God. I'll tell you, for sure, some really insane people have managed to get too many spotlights. I mean, the clinically insane people, bless their hearts, they should be medicated or ECT'd or have a nice loving family who'll keep them safely ensconced in the attic with lots of soft furniture to sit on. But to have these sons of bitches out here in media, you know, you have the suicider, Beck. You have the pill popper, child molester, Limbaugh. You have Crazy Eyes, Malkin. You have, of course, Hannity's almost disappeared. You imagine how pissed off Sean must be that Glenn Beck is the new golden boy at Fox. That must be hard to deal with, eh, Sean? But you have all these crazy people in media, clinically insane. I mean, definably. Observably insane, mad. And then you have the same people in religion. You have the same people in politics. You have other people, the deniers of everything, you know, global warming, vaccine use, just chock-a-block with these people. Every place you turn. How did this country that used to pride itself on its educational standards, its dedication to at least try to get to the point of equal justice under the law and so on and so forth, how did the insane people
get such control and influence? You know the old saying, bad money drives out good. It just seems, maybe I'm too focused on it with, you know, in this job, but I just see this blithering idiocy every place I turn. It's beyond belief. I just sometimes wonder, you know, how did this happen? How did these, these people that are so backward, so religiously nuts, so scientifically empty, so compassionately devoid. I don't know, pick your term. Get into such positions of power and influence. It's just spooky. I'm out of here for tonight. All right. We'll see you tomorrow night. Take care and keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.
Best age for